Today we have a very exciting day. It's something that we've been looking very much forward to. Three of our finest men in this congregation will be sharing with us today. Pastor Damian gave himself props. I love that. Pastor James, Pastor Damian, and Pastor Isaiah, why don't you guys come on up? We're kicking off a series that we are calling Reimagine. And let me just read to you the definition of reimagine. It means to imagine again or imagine anew in a new or different form, to form a new conception of, recreate, or form a new idea, approach, method around an already existing idea, approach, or method. How many of you know that there's a Holy Spirit-inspired version of this also? And that's found in 1 Corinthians 1, 9 through 10. It says, this is why scriptures say, things never discovered or heard of before, things beyond our ability to imagine. These are the many things God has in store for all his lovers. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Don't you love when God butts in to our normal ideas and thoughts? Because it says in verse 10, but God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. One of the biggest concepts that ever blew my mind a couple years ago was when someone said to me, do you realize that God is the most creative being that has ever existed? He has contained more creativity than if you put the top 10 most creative people in this universe in one room, they would not even begin to reach how creative our Lord is. He created all of us, everything, and he continues to create and do new things. And so what we're going to do in these next couple weeks is open our minds and ask God to begin to knock down the ways that we've been locked in to what we think about how things should be done. Are we ready to imagine, to reimagine how we do things and reimagine God doing something new? Because if we're not careful, we can make our methods sacred. And the method is never sacred. It is always the message. So we're going to ask you to start thinking about your methods. Maybe it's a seat that you sit in every Sunday. Maybe it's a way that you serve. We're going to get into that. I want to take their guys' message, right? Yeah. Next time. Okay, anyway. So Pastor Dean has mentioned that there's seven words that a dying church will say before they die, and that's, we've never done it this way before. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you said that in the last 15 months? Oh, we've never done it that way before. And so we're saying, okay, hold on, because the way that you've never done it before could absolutely blow your socks off, and we could reach a community that we've never reached. So we want you to reimagine. We want you to think about, form, approach a new idea about something that may already exist but has lost its effectiveness. So today we're going to dare you to reimagine outreach. We're going to dare you to reimagine how we reach our community, your neighbors, your friends. We're going to dare you to reimagine with us how to love our city more effectively and consistently. And then we're going to dare you to reimagine our methods so that we can better present the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Will you today welcome our guest speakers? Here we go.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jesse. Amen. So we are reimagining our outreach. We are reimagining our outlook on how we do ministry, how we do outreach in our community. And I think that we have to reimagine how we've always done it before, just as Pastor Jesse said. We have to reimagine, how do we approach the lost? How do we approach the broken? How do we see the people not just sitting in this building, but we see the people in our community, in the Thomas, in our schools, and in our businesses? And how do we approach them to encounter this loving God that has changed our life? Now, in order to reimagine, I think we have to be careful that our past success doesn't become our present failures, because we fail to seek and hear the voice of God. See, Real Life Church, we have a lineage of past victories and success. But so easily, we can just say, hey, let's just do like we did last time. Let's just rinse and repeat. Let's try that again. And what happens is all of a sudden we wake up and realize we're failing because we have cast God aside. We've said we no longer need to convene with the Holy Spirit and see what God would have us do. And so I love the direction that Pastor Dean is leading our church as he is asking us to reimagine what it looks like, to reimagine what our role is, to even put at question our previous thought methodologies. And God has positioned our church perfectly for this. We are already a church that looks, lives, and leads like heaven. I made the joke earlier today. There's not a lot of churches in America that on one stage, at one Sunday, you got one white man preaching, if you follow me. You also got one black man preaching, if you follow me. And you got one cholo up there preaching, if you follow me. It doesn't happen everywhere, but it happens in a house that looks like heaven, that sees diversity as a necessity. And so God has already put in our DNA a church that likes to reimagine what kingdom works can look like. He set us up for it. And I want to begin by asking you this question. If real life church were to disappear, would the community notice? If we said, hey, this is our last Sunday, let's just shut the doors, we're done, would anyone even see the void there? Would there be a lack of hope in our community? Would there be a lack of love in the city of Natomas? Would there be a void in the heart of our city that is just groaning for wishing of those days when real life church was there? Because real life church met the needs of the schools. Because real life church met the needs of those family members. Because real life church was in everywhere in the community. You couldn't get away from those people. You see the RLC SAC shirt and the Love Natomas shirt everywhere, and they always told us about God. If the answer to that question is an emphatic yes, then we need to reimagine our outreach. We need to reimagine what community looks like. But let me tell you this, reimagination doesn't begin with a good idea. It begins on your knees. We have so many ideas in the church. I mean, we could go on for hours and hours of people saying, well, I think we should go this method. I think we should do this. Can I tell you, I don't need another idea, as good as it may be. I need to hear from the voice of only one who's going to tell us and lead the path to where we should go. That's what we need to follow. We don't need more good ideas. We need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit who's leading and guiding us. I want to share with you a couple of verses this morning in John 15. Verses 12 through 13, he says this, my command is this, to love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for another friend. Before we can even get to the practicum, before we can reimagine our outreach, we have to first reexamine our hearts. If we do not have love for the community that we live in and we are called to serve, then we can't serve them well. And I love how Jesus is saying, look, this is my command, hence this is important. I want you to love them the way James shows love. No, he don't say that. He doesn't say, I want you to love them the way Gene shows love, or I want you to love them the way Mason shows love. He doesn't say that. He says, I want you to show love the way I have loved you. Look to your neighbor and say, show love. Some of y'all need to stop showing love to people the way you show love because it sucks. Oh, I love you, brother. This is how I show love. Some of y'all parents in here show love with a belt. You know, I don't want that. I want the love that Jesus has for me. I want the love that's unconditional. I want to be shown the love that's sacrificial. I don't want the love that says, well, you're mad at me today, so we get too caught up. Well, this is how I show love. Well, it's not always the way to do it. Jesus says, show love the way I show love. Now, I haven't been married for very long, but I've learned almost 2 years. I've learned something about my wife. We show love differently, and we receive it differently. So let me describe love and how my wife would see it. It's 105 out in Sacramento. It's in the summertime. The apartment's 98 degrees inside. She wants to sit on the couch with two comforters, and she wants to cuddle and watch a movie. I call that torture to the highest degree. Hell on earth. She calls it love. But love for me is, okay, she's gone. I'm going to clean the house. I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to hang that picture she's wanted. I'm going to make sure I go get that one thing she said she wanted one day, but she didn't even know. And I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait for her to come home. And she's going to be so surprised at all the works I did. She's going to walk in and say, oh, I didn't even notice that. When'd you do that? Really? Really? Okay. So clearly there's a different frequency of love that we have for each other. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens in this way that you will fulfill the law of Christ. So we have to reimagine how we carry each other's burdens. This summer, we began the initiative of Love Natomas. We went to the First Friday events. We went to the movie in the park, and we put on display the love of Christ, not even knowing the people in the community. And already, the city is asking for more partnerships. That's why we're doing things like the Creekside Fair. I love what Pastor Michelle did just this past week. They had the Nerf Wars, the father-son Nerf Wars. But what I loved about it is that she gave the opportunity for men to be a sponsor father for the night. And when they do the mother-daughter paint night, there's going to be an opportunity for mothers to sponsor for the night, because where there's a lack, where there's a void, where there's a need in the community, God has called us to fill that need. And there was 50 young boys, young children, and men here that night representing what the kingdom can look like, representing what reimagined works can look like. This fall, in the beginning of the school year, here's something to get excited about. Our church donated 81 fully loaded and stocked with school supplies, backpacks, to the kids at American Lakes this fall. Come on, we can give God praise for that. That's 81 children who wouldn't have had the tools to be successful in the classroom because we decided to be generous, because you decided to be generous and reimagine what outreach can look like. But it doesn't stop just there. We have to continue to carry each other's burdens in this way. See, it's one thing. We love to come to church on Sunday. We love to shout and praise God. But let me tell you, you might shout on Sunday, but if that shout doesn't affect how you treat your neighbor on Monday, then why are you shouting? If that shout doesn't affect how you treat your coworkers on Tuesday, then why are you shouting on Sunday? If that shout doesn't translate to how you interact with the community, then we have to ask the question, why are we in here shouting? What is it for? It has to translate into our daily lives. Having a reimagined outlook on community, it just penetrates every aspect of our life. Not saying, well, your burdens are too heavy. That's too filthy. I don't want to get close to that and keep them at a stiff arm distance. No, it's saying, I'm going to welcome you in. I don't care how heavy your burden is. We're all going to carry it together. And when we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love each other as Christ has loved us. Man, this clock goes quick, y'all. Okay, here we go. 1 Peter 4, verse 9 through 11. It says, show hospitality to one another without complaining, just as each one of you has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards, or a very grace to God. Whoever speaks, let it be with God's words. Whoever serves, do so with the strength God supplies, so that in everything God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's a powerful verse right there. It says that we are to show hospitality. Hospitality meaning this, to provide lodging and provisions for those who are in need. So what does that mean, to provide lodging? That means you got to make up their bed. It says provisions. That means you need to be able to give them a meal, and noodles don't count. You got to cook a real meal for them. You provide them with water, with clothing, with whatever necessities they have. That's what it means to carry burdens. And guess what? You can't do that from an arm distance. You got to welcome them into your home. You got to welcome them into your life, into your circumstance, because it's a relationship that people most effectively come to know who Christ is as their Lord and Savior. We have to reimagine what it looks like. Right now, God has birthed this vision, has given us the tools to have a mobile food bank in the city of Natomas. So that there's, at American Lakes right now, there's 90% of their students are on free and reduced lunch. Meaning that sometimes only their only meal that they eat is during lunch at school. So what are they going to do on the weekends? Well, God has put us here for a purpose, to fulfill that need. So right now, we have the resources. We have the food. We just need the people to say, I'm willing to volunteer and bring those meals so those families can have something to eat over the weekend. We have to reimagine what our outreach looks like. And when we reimagine reaching our community, you have to understand this. One, you're capable. It says right there that God has given you the gift. Receive it. I know it's so easy to think that, well, I don't have a gift. I can't contribute. That's why I love Pastor Dean prophetically speaks over this house. We're going from an audience to a body. And a body has many members, and we need every single one of you. You are all capable, despite what any oppression or what anyone has said to you, you're capable. The second thing is you must understand that people are worth it. You know, whenever I need inspiration, I just look to my wife, and she always provides it. My wife, she is a fourth grade school teacher. Some of y'all need to pray for her. But not only is she a fourth grade school teacher, but she's Pastor Jesse's daughter's teacher, so y'all really need to like fast and pray. I'm just kidding, Pastor Jesse. Claire is awesome. But she comes home and she will tell me all the stories of her day. She'll download. Sometimes I'm not even ready for it, but I gotta be, because that's what I gotta do. And she'll download sometimes the silly stuff the kids will say, the funny things they did. But sometimes she'll have to download all the just random annoying things that the kids did. And she'll begin to tell me all the stuff and how hard it was and stressful, and she couldn't keep them doing what they need to do. And I'm thinking the entire time, man, why do you do it? Like, I would not do that, because look, it's one thing to take care of your own kids' mess. She's taking care of y'all kids' mess, okay? That's a difference. And I wonder why she does it, but she's still so eager to want to teach them and see them learn, to see them develop. And it shows me that she has a heart to say that people are worth it. Those kids are worth it. And the moment that the people in our community are not worth it is the moment our church needs to shut down. The moment we don't see them as being, as us getting uncomfortable, as us carrying their burdens, we need to pack up and go home and just say, God, raise up another church, because we got it wrong. And the last thing to know is that God will be glorified. This isn't a mundane task. We're not asking you to sign up on a sheet just to keep you busy. God is being glorified in this work. This is the kingdom work. And we have to keep that at the forefront of our mind. And we can't make a difference until we first make a decision. So we got the practical. Right now, when you walk out of this lobby today, there's going to be a sign-up sheet in the lobby for you to sign up to serve at American Lakes, to read to those students during the day, whatever fits your schedule, to help out teachers, to sign up for the Creekside Fair. There's salsa in there. There's practical ways where you guys can further outreach and community, but it all starts with a reimagined thought. I want to pray for our community real quick, if you would pray with me. Father, we just thank you so much that you are using our church, God, that you positioned us in a place, God, to be used by you. And God, we just ask that you would continue to renew our minds, God. Continue to give us new vision of what it would look like to serve you in our community and what it would look like to carry the burdens, God. Because we're not just reaching our community, Lord, but we're out here to reach our campuses and our students as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can go ahead and give God glory for that. So I have the honor of speaking about reimagining our campuses. And as I was studying and praying for this, I was just brainstorming ways we can get on campus. And but the Lord just kind of spoke to me to speak for students, to advocate for our young people, and to kind of let their voices be heard. And so I just want to first talk to you a little bit about what we're doing on the high school campuses. You can put the picture up there. We're at Natomas High School every week. Pastor James, Otis Amy, Spencer Hagen, all those guys just laid the groundwork on this, and we're continuing what God has started there, and we've seen kids getting saved. Intercomer there once a month. My favorite picture here is that left picture of Simon Isaac leading his peers on campus and not being ashamed of who God is in his life. And moving. Let me tell you this. As a youth pastor, I want to think that I'm the best person to reach the campuses. Like, I'm cool. Like, you're laughing. That's messed up. I'm kind of cool. My wife says I'm cool. my kids think I'm amazing, okay? But I think, like, God has given me the word, the eyes, the everything. But the truth of the matter is the best person to reach students is another student. They get what they're going through. They get everything. I kind of sometimes like, oh, okay, I heard that. Yeah, and I try to say it, and they look at me weird. But they're going through this together. We've had kids saved, and we're excited about that. But I want to let you know there's a lot more to do. It's time to reimagine. There's 4 students at these 2 high schools that have reached 40 newly saved people, but there's about 3,000 more students to go. And we can get excited. We were excited for every single person saved, but I believe that there is a reimagination that is to be done on these campuses. I'm gonna give you the MC version of these scriptures here. So Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they were put in prison into the very back, far, stinky cell. And the jailer woke up to some earthquakes and the doors flinging open and everything was going down. And through the midst of it all, here is what Paul says. He says, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." And see, I believe that our students have been given a task. They've been given a responsibility, and they've been given a divine space for a divine moment. It's time for our students to occupy their campuses and be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what you guys are probably thinking. I know what you're probably thinking. Like, my baby tell people about Jesus? He needs Jesus. Like, I have a 3-year-old. They declined his application for rededication because he needs Jesus. Like, sometimes, can I be real? I love Adam Armstrong because he makes me feel like I'm a normal dad. Sometimes, like, I don't know if I'll get in trouble. Sometimes my son makes me want to cuss. I'm just like, dear Lord. And you know, it just your blood boils and you're just like, ugh, I can't see it. I just can't see it, right? Like, I want both of my boys to be mighty men of God. I want them to be pastors. You might disagree with that. But I want to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, like, it's hard for us to see it sometimes. But I think it's time for us to reimagine. You know, sometimes parents have those stickers on their car. I can't stand these parents. I'm just going to be real with you. If that's you and your sticker's on the car right now, we're not going to judge you. We love everybody here at Real Life Church. I just can't stand you. But, you know, 4.0 student at blank and blank school. And I'm just like, man, why can't they give them for like 2.5 students? Because my mom still loves me. Like, she still loves me. Right? But listen, I think it's time for us to reimagine. Instead of bragging about our kids 4.0, they brag about the 4 students they lead to Christ this semester. I think it's time to reimagine. Last week was Carry Your Bible to School Day. I think it's time to reimagine us just being satisfied with carrying our Bible, that these students are empowered and equipped to open them up and share the gospel with their friends. It can happen. It can happen. It can happen. I think it's time to reimagine the school pool being used for baptisms more than it is for running swimming laps. I think it's time to reimagine that we stop getting excited just for a cool picture on Instagram, and we start to see young people baptized in the Holy Spirit on a school campus, because God is that way. He can do what He can only do. We can imagine students not going to school just to learn history, but making history. I think that's what we got in this house. Students who are, we used to sing that song, I'm going to be a history maker. That's a whack song. But I believe that these students can do it, that they will be history makers in this area. We need to imagine our sons and daughters prophesying and our young men seeing visions. Like I said, it might be hard to see your baby this way, but I want to challenge us to look past their craziness and to see in and speak into the Creator's calling on their life. Listen, students, I want to say from kindergarten on up, if you're in college, if you're in high school, in junior high, I want you parents to listen up. Adults, they are not a liability. They are an asset to the kingdom of God. They are an asset to the kingdom of God. I know your insurance company might say something else until they're 25, but to our kingdom, the kingdom of God, they are an asset, and we need them. We need them. In order to reimagine what God can do on the campus, we must get God's perspective on our children. I know it's hard when they're like, why are you doing that? Like, there's peanut butter on the walls. Like, why are you doing that? I get it. Or maybe you have a teenager. Let me tell you, like, why are you doing that? I used to be that teenager. Like, I used to be that kid. But I believe it's time that we start to speak the scripture over them and not just what we see. And yes, if you're a student here, I know, and you're listening to this and you're like, yes, schools are prisons. I get it. If the doors open, I'd bounce. Like, I'm out of here. But I believe that that you guys are primed and ready to lead people on your campus to the gospel. I was that kid who was in the nurse's office faking it all the time. Mom, I'm sick. She's like, no, you're not. And then Spanish. No, you're not. Go back to class. And I'm like, okay. And so I get what you're thinking, but even students, if you're in here, I need you to reimagine your influence on your campus. You need to reimagine. You've been placed. Students, just look at me really quick. I know it's hard to stay in a whole service, but listen. You have been placed on campus to replace hopelessness, hurt, fear, depression, and anxiety with the peace, love, grace, and saving power of Jesus Christ. That is your mission. That is your assignment. That is your identity. That is your destiny. That is your calling. That is the apex of your desire. It's not the high school diploma that you're there for. It's not important that you become homecoming king. It's important that you introduce people to the King of Kings. It's not important if you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's important that you show them that He is a friend of all of sin, and that Jesus is available to them, that they can meet the Savior of the universe. I love this. They're going to show Luke here. When Simon was out fishing, and Jesus, like Jesus does sometimes, says, have you tried this? Have you ever done that? You're like, I've done that, Jesus. I've done that. What are you talking about? And here Jesus goes, how about you just go a little deeper? Let your net try to catch some fish. Just go a little deeper. And man, after a whole night, he's just like, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But listen to these key words. But if you say so. But if you say so. I'm going to tell you what, my wife, she wishes I can get this in my spirit right now when it comes to taking out the trash. I'm going to hear it now. She's going to be like, but I said so. I'm like, but if you say so. But if you say so, if we can get this, if you say so response to what God wants to do. I believe God's challenging us to invest and equip our students to occupy their campus. What does that look like? It's telling them that they matter and that they belong here and they're welcome here. It means praying for them, not that they would just turn the music down in youth room, but praying that God would ignite a flame within them that they can reach their campuses. It's seeing the value in their lives. But we got to go a little deeper. We got to go a little deeper. Here's what I believe. I believe an if you say so church will produce if you say so students. And it'll ignite an if-you-say-so revival and bring about if-you-say-so responsibility. Listen, you can't say, look, hey, God, just do what you want to do in the youth group. We hired a youth pastor and everything's cool. No, it's a responsibility that we have to, as a family, disciple and love on and encourage our students. I know they're crazy. I know they're crazy. Oh, I know. Some of you are like, my baby's not crazy. We're going to talk afterwards. They're crazy. They're a little crazy. But it's a responsibility that we have. The text in Luke there says that they had so many fish that a shout for help brought their partners. A shout for help. We need help. There's not enough. There's not enough. Look, as a youth pastor, I can't do it on my own. I'm going to be real with you. This is a shout for help. This is a shout for help. When we bring young people and they need to know that they're welcome here, they need to know that you love them. They need to know that you can give them a high five, whatever you want to do, but to let them know that they are welcome here. Students reaching students is made possible when the church responds to a shout for help. To a shout for help. I'm going to tell you what, there's students that are pounding and grinding over there in the campuses trying to get people to know them, but there's a lot of students who don't feel supported, and it is our responsibility to love on them and to make sure that they feel the support of their church. I have some practical things here for us. How do we do that? We got to be present in their lives. We got to be present in their lives. And I'm not saying like, yeah, the youth are over there. That's cool. They're over there. We're present. We got a youth pastor to take care of that. No, we got to be present in their lives. And that, like I said, that's just loving on them. We have present prayers. I'm going to ask you guys to begin to intercede for our students. Like, passionately pray for them as if it was your own. Don't just pray that they won't do bad things, but pray that God would use them in a mighty way. And see, our goal is not to make sure they're good boys and girls that don't have sex till they're married, don't drink. Our goal is to make sure that they are powerful tools in the kingdom of God. It's not, oh, we're fearful of what the world has. No, we are moving students to a place of victory. Present mentors. If all you can do is give a kid a high five in the hallway, find one kid every week. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I love you, man. Well, don't say that first. It might creep them out. I'm glad you're here. The one that's kind of it's hard sometimes to talk about is present finances. Right now, we're about $200 off our goal at Natomas High School. We buy them pizza. We can't ask them to come to lunch and not give them food. So we buy them pizza. And so he said, I'm a cholo, so I'm going to give you a little example because he said, I lean like a cholo. You know, so it's like our vision's there, but when it comes to the finance, we're like, okay. Like, this is how we're walking at Natomas High School right now. And no colors. We're just like, I'm just walking like this. Like, we're gimping in the vision and in the finances. So what I'm going to ask you to do, if you can sponsor $5, $10, a slice, you can sponsor a whole week. It's $100 a week to help us reach these young people. To help us reach these young people. And then also grace. Give them grace. They're kids. Remember when you were a kid. Remember when you were a kid. Love on them. Students need to hear the words of Paul and Silas saying, we are all here. church, that needs to be our response to these students, is we are all here. And we are, when you're needed, when you have a shout for help, we will be present. What I'm going to do to close, if I can get every student to stand up, we're going to pray for you. If you're in junior high, high school, college, I want you to stand up. And church, let's just pray for them. If, yeah, stand up. Yes, you may. We're going to pray for you. You matter. You're important. Church, let's just spread our hands and let's pray for them. Lord, we just thank you for every one of these saints. God, I pray that you would help us equip these saints for the work of your ministry, Lord God. God, I pray that you would give us words and actions and love so that we can encourage and inspire young people, that we can correct in love, God, that we can disciple and mentor and coach and be spiritual father and mothers in this house, Lord God. We thank you for the mandate that you've given them, God. We thank you for the divine space you've given them, and we are so eagerly awaiting the stories of how you give them divine moments on their campuses, and for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Man, I was over there trying to reimagine some back support on that bar stool. So my assignment today is to talk about reimagining, reaching culture. Everyone say culture. But before we can talk about reaching culture, I think it's super important to talk about how to navigate through culture. Amen. I believe that when we're reaching culture, we have to learn how to navigate it. But navigating culture does not mean we avoid it or disconnect from it. It means that we learn it, we love it, we lead it, and then we're able to shift it. Amen? But in shifting culture, one of the things that I've recognized is we have to be able to resist the popular trends of culture. You can't heal a culture when you're given into the unhealthy trends of that culture. And when we follow the popularity of the culture's trends above God's timeless truth, we'll find ourselves staying in cycles of defeat. I'm going to say that again. When we find ourselves pursuing or following the popularity of culture's trends above God's timeless truth, we'll stay in cycles of defeat. Popularity doesn't mean anointing. Nor if you draw a big crowd means that you're a great leader. Amen. Because if we can't take the crowd that we have influence over and turn them into disciples, then chances are we're more caught up in the trends than the truth. Because the truth of the matter is God gives us influence. He gives us anointings so that we can invade culture, so we can go in particular areas where there's darkness and bring light and bring truth. Amen? And when we bring light, we don't have to necessarily rebuke darkness, because darkness is not something you can quantify. It's not something you can measure. Darkness is just the absence of light. So when we bring truth, we bring light. And when light comes on the scene, darkness already goes. It goes automatically. Amen. So if we can be incubators of truth and we can carry that truth, we'll find ourselves leading culture as opposed to culture leading us. So before we talk about reaching culture, I want us to understand as well that the applause of man does not mean the approval of God. See, if you're going to lead culture, you can't be swayed by their opinions. Because the truth of the matter is you can't please everyone. But the Bible says when a man's way pleases the Lord, even his enemies is at peace. So I know there's one person that I am trying to please is Jesus. Because if I can please Jesus, I can please my spouse. If I can please Jesus, I can please my employer. If I can please Jesus, a culture that may not like me, they'll eventually respect me because I'm bringing what they need, even though they don't know they need it yet. So Romans 12, 1 through 2, it talks about, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart. Everyone say set apart. See, before God can use you to be a change agent in the culture around us, I believe that there's a season of you being set apart. There's a season of you being set apart. I believe in Galatians 1:15 through 16, chapter 1:15 through 16, Paul said it pleased God to separate me at birth so that God can reveal Christ in me to the culture around me. Amen. So in separation or being set apart, it's not that God wants you to disconnect from the world. He wants you to reconnect with him so that in reconnecting to him, you can go back and get a disconnected world connected back to him. But if you're not connected yourself, how are you going to take a disconnected culture and bring them back to a connected God or to a God who wants connection? So it says, keep it on the screen for me, please. Set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed. Everyone say conformed. Which means do not allow your beliefs, your core values, your opinion to be shaped by another person's agenda. Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be what? Transformed. Say that with me. Transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing not on what should be avoiding, but focusing on who we should be pursuing, which is Jesus, focusing on godly values, ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Let's give God some praise on that one. Which brings me to my point, if we're going to help heal culture, again, we have to be willing to resist the trends of culture. Now, God is not against us being trendy as long as those trends are not taken away from truth. When trends come in conflict with truth, we pick truth over trends. Amen? So if you can marry two of them, then you can be relevant because God's truth never changed, but the way he packages it is changing. Amen. He's presenting the truth in rap. He's presenting the truth in acting. He's presenting the truth in all different type of spheres of influence. But those who stay in an influential place and not get swayed by culture is those who had truth first. And as they establish themselves in truth, then God used their passions and their desires as a trend to lead a culture that is trending but doesn't have the truth. Amen. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love this world nor the things it offers you. Or do not love what the culture offers you. Again, not all culture is bad. And really that word culture, just to give you some understanding, that word culture just means a particular group of people. It means a particular way of believing or having values. It's you have youth culture, you have drug culture, you got Jesus culture, you got all different types of culture. You were raised in a culture. The only thing God is saying is when culture gets in a way of truth, when the traditions, when the culture of man get in the way, the word of God becomes null and void. So God wants us to put truth above culture, and truth is a culture in of itself. Amen. So when we carry truth, we're carrying a culture to invade a culture to bring them to healing. When it comes to like the nation's wounds, I believe Christians should be the first responder. We have to stop being second in leading the conversations and being first in leading the conversations. We can't let culture define what marriage is. We can't let culture tell us our kids got ADHD. We can't let culture begin to define with their verbiage of what we should believe in. No, we define what we need to believe in because we have a God who has absolute truth, and as children of light, we carry that truth. I don't care what the fact is. If you got truth, your truth can change your fact. Fact of the matter is you may have some challenges going on in your life, but truth of the matter, God says you are the redeemed of the Lord and you can say so. You might have facts of sickness and disease, but truth of the matter is you are healed by Jesus' stripes. So when the culture of sickness tries to get on us, the culture of truth can repel that sickness in Jesus' name. So I said, for the world offers only a craving of physical pleasures, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our own achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. So God is helping us differentiate between culture and truth. He's saying, look, I don't mind you having culture, but when culture is getting you caught up in the pride of life, the achievements of what you can get, and you're now going after what looks good and feels good as opposed to what is good according to his word, then you are allowing culture to get in the way of him. So culture should never lead us. It should only inform us. I'm going to say that again. Culture should never lead us. It should only inform us. The Holy Spirit should lead us. And the information that we're getting from culture should be to help us learn it so we can love it and then rehabilitate it. Amen? So as we are in this journey in my final moments and how to reach culture, we have to understand, according to 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, it talks about be holy for I am holy. So I believe that God has to call us back to holiness. Holiness is not about what we wear. As you guys can see, you probably already judged me in what I had on. But culture is about oneness, or holiness, excuse me, is about oneness to his word. Not oneness to an external appearance, but oneness to an inward person, Jesus. And when you align with that inward person, Jesus, in your heart, then now you can carry something that can shift culture. So holiness is oneness with the Lord. Say that to your neighbor. Holiness is oneness with the Lord. And the Bible says, without holiness, no one can see him. Meaning, when you don't align yourself up with his word, you won't see the good in people. You'll only see the bad in people. Meaning, when you don't align yourself in the word, you won't see that God loves the LGBT community just as much as he loves people who are not in that community. When you don't align yourself with the word, you'll judge people addicted to drugs, and you'll judge people who had abortions. But when you align yourself to the word, you'll begin to see the good, the gold in them, and you can call it out of them, because God is not judging the world. God so loved the world, he so loved the culture, that he sent his only begotten son to heal a culture that does not know him. So what happens when we don't separate, or we pursue, or when we don't pursue sanctification? Isaiah 5, 20 and 21 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. When we do not set ourselves apart to God so that God can use us to invade and heal a culture, what happens is the voices of the culture becomes louder than the voices of our Savior. The voices of the culture becomes louder than the voices of our Savior. And here it is, you can't influence culture if you are following the wrong voices within culture. Some of us need to unfollow some people on Instagram, unfollow some people on Facebook. How about following people who are leading culture versus creating unhealthy aspects of culture? So I want to close on this. 1 Corinthians 9:19. If we can bring the band up, or the keys, or the music. I don't know the music culture lingo, so don't judge me. Check this out. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Paul is talking about how to reach culture. Religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. Everyone say whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I didn't become a part of that culture. That's what he's saying. However, I kept my bearings in Christ. Okay, I got a part of their trend, but I didn't allow their trend to shift my truth. But I entered the world and tried to experience things from their point of view. What is this? This is empathy. Everyone say empathy. So the first place we need to start with healing a culture is being empathetic with a culture. Don't judge their experience when you have not had their experience. And it says, I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all this because of the message, because of Jesus. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. God is doing something in culture, and our approach shouldn't just be to observe it. It should be to, I want in on it. Amen. God is raising some new Moseses up. God is raising some new Daniels, some Shadrach, some Meshach, some Abednego, and in some culture, they call him a bad Negro. Don't judge me. That was from another culture. God is raising up new Josephs and new Joshuas to deal with the Nebuchadnezzars and the Pharaohs and the different evils in the world. But if you don't know how to be set apart so that God can use you for a season to show you who he is and release you back into what you was once in bondage to, but now you have freedom, it takes a free person to free another person. It takes a free person to bring people out of bondage. Amen? So these last points, how can we reach culture? There's three quick points: by learning it, knowing their likes and dislikes, and their language of communication. If you're going into a culture, if I'm going into an agriculture, if I'm trying to reach farmers, I'm not going to wear a business suit. I'm going to throw on some overalls. Amen? Loving it. Care about them. Serve them and not criticize them. Scripture says mercy triumphs over judgment. Leading it. What do I mean by leading it? We're not trying to destroy their worldview, nor try to compete. Here it is. You don't got to defend the gospel no more than you got to defend a lion. You just let it loose, and it's going to defend itself. Amen? So when we see Paul at Mars Hill, when there was a culture of people who had a statue that they were worshiping, and it said to the unknown God, he didn't go to them and saying, you are stupid, you're dumb. He didn't judge them. He said, oh, I know what you're looking for. You're looking for a God who I know that you're trying to worship. Paul didn't come to destroy their worldview. He came to complement, to bring truth and complete their worldview. Stand with me real quick as I close in prayer. I believe God has been ministering to a lot of us, whether it's in community, campus, or culture. And God is calling Real Life Church to not be an audience, as Pastor James mentioned, as Pastor Dean has declared, but to be a part of the body. You have plenty of opportunities to serve and lead, and it's time for us to shift. There's been prophetic things spoken over us, and you are part of that prophetic word. So it's not time for us to judge culture, be a spectator of culture, but it's time to get involved. God wants to raise up some actors to go into Hollywood and bring truth into that culture. God wants to raise up some rappers and singers who can go into that realm and bring truth to them. God wants to raise up some firefighters, some policemen. He wants to invade all culture, not just one particular culture. He wants all. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, Father, I just pray for everyone in here. I thank you that you have given them a gift. You have given them a particular area where they are anointed. Anointed meaning they have the presence of God in their life to do a particular work. That they are not created as an experiment, but they were created for a divine assignment. God, I ask that you will begin to reveal those divine assignments right now to them in the name of Jesus. I pray that the anointing of Joshua, the anointing of Daniel, the different anointings that took over kingdoms to bring it back to the kingdom of our dear son, or your dear son, Jesus Christ. I release that over them right now in the name of Jesus. Give them greater courage. Give them a greater hunger to do the things that are pleasing to you. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're in here, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That means he died for you. Some scriptures are in the scriptures. It talks about God will leave the 99 just for the one. If you're in here and you are not sure of your salvation, or you may need to rededicate your life, you're not sure that if you die today, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to pray with you and for you. So I'm making two calls, one for salvation and one for rededication. If that's you, I don't want to tarry in this moment, but I just want to encourage you to raise your hand. If that's you and you don't know Jesus, you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, you need salvation or you need rededication, just raise your hand and I want to pray with you and for you. I see that hand. Anybody else, if you're in here and you want to rededicate your life or you want to come to Jesus, amen. Real Life Church, can we say this prayer together as a family to encourage our brothers and sisters who raised their hand? Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I no longer want to be a sinner serving Satan, but I declare myself righteous because of the blood of Jesus and me accepting his sacrifice for my life. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you into my heart and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Go ahead and lift your hands up. You guys. For those who responded to the altar call, myself or any of the pastors will be up here after service. I want to declare a blessing over you. Just lift your hands up. Father, we declare that they are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, that everything they touch will prosper according to your kingdom. Father, I pray that your hedge of protection will be over them. I pray peace, shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, wholeness in every area of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.